This morning there'll be another day of storytelling from the discourses of the Buddha. And this time some of the story will be constructed out of the evidence, the pieces that are there. It seems that for the most part, the people who composed these earliest discourses of the, called earliest discourses of the Buddha, weren't particularly interested in history or even biography. They weren't really doing much of a biography of the Buddha. But there are all these little snippets of stories that exist. And some of them we can then connect the dots and understand a little bigger piece of the history of the times, the life of the Buddha. And so I'm going to tell some of this, what comes from the early discourses. Some of it's piecing pieces together, and some of it comes from a little bit later, the commentaries that also try to piece some, provide the bigger context for some of these stories. And a piece of what inspires this little discussion today is some of the work of Stephen Batchelor, who's done some of this work of also of piecing together some of the evidence. So it has to do with the end of the Buddha's life, the context, that his times that he was coming, that he was, you know, in his last year of his life. And what we begin seeing, if we start looking at the pieces, is that the society around him, much of what the society he knew and his people he was close to, were dying, or were societies were beginning to fall apart, and war was happening, and kings were being usurped from power. And the Buddha's own disciples, his senior closest disciples, were dying this last year of his life. And the Buddha, seemingly through it all, was calm, was peaceful, died very peacefully under some trees. And this contrast between the kind of, I call it, the society falling apart around him, and his peacefulness is quite a contrast. And maybe it's something that's also relevant for all human times. And it seems like maybe almost every generation thinks that the world is falling apart around them. So this piecing things together begins with maybe in the last year of the Buddha's life, maybe when he was about 80, I think it says that in the text that the king comes to talk to the Buddha, and the king says, you know, both of us are 80 years old. So Buddha is up in his home country, Sakya, up in the foothills of the Himalayas and in the parts of what now Nepal. And he was, I guess, on retreat or just living quietly there in his old age. And nearby was another kingdom of where there was a king, Pasenadi, who they had been friends for 40 years. Early in the Buddha's teaching career, they were at the same age. They were the same age. And they had struck up a friendship, and for 40 years they had, or they 46 years or something, they had seen each other periodically and were considered friends, and Pasenadi was also a student and very devoted to the Buddha. And this king was out and about and wanted to visit the Buddha maybe one last time in their old age. And so he went with his minister, who he apparently trusted, and they rode in close to where the Buddha was in the forest. And the king got off his horse, or his elephant, whatever he was riding, and then he said to his minister, "I'm going to go in there and see the Buddha alone. And here, hold these things." And he handed over to the minister all the insignia, all the paraphernalia that represented the power of the king, his sword, his crown or his turban, and different things that he had that were represented his authority. And the minister was a little bit perturbed, like, what's going on here? Some secret plan that he doesn't want me to be there and hear what's going to be talking about. And so he was a little bit suspicious about what was happening. And then the king goes into the forest and sees the Buddha, and the king gives almost like a eulogy for the Buddha. It's almost like he's going to see him maybe one last time, and he speaks so in high praise of the Buddha. And that's the end of the story. This sutta just ends right there. So the Buddha is, 80 years old, old man. And then we have another discourse that has to do with the last, in English, the last days of the Buddha's life. It's the story of his passing away. And that's a little bit more of a chronology over many months, actually. But it begins with the Buddha being almost about as far away from his home country as he could be in the world that he lived in northern India. And maybe some 300 miles, I'm not sure exactly how many, but quite far. So here was a man who was 80 years old, who had been in his home country, and then sometime later, and then over the next year, we don't know exactly when, he was 300 miles away in far to the south, in the, I think near the Bay of Bengal, something like that, and near what's now called Pataliputra, I think. How did he get there, and why did he go there? But this one story almost begins, with the story of the Buddha now walking back home. So he came all the way down this 300 miles, only to kind of more seemingly turn around and go back up, back home to his home country. And what was, why such a quick trip? So the piecing it together, one idea is that the minister of the king who took all the king's paraphernalia, what the commentaries say is that this minister had a little bit of resentment for the king, and so he left and abandoned the king there in the forest, and left him with a horse and one attendant, and went back to the capital and handed the symbols of power to the king's son, who thereby usurped the throne. And the king came out of the forest without anything, really, except a horse. And so he went down to visit the other king at this place where the Buddha was, ended up going. The other king was his relative. I think it was his son-in-law or his cousin or something. And they had been at war with each other over those 40 years' time, but they were also had made enough peace, and they were relatives, and the King Pisanetti had nowhere else to go, supposedly, so he went down to see his relative, the other king. And so he made this long trip himself as an old man, and he apparently was not in very good shape. Some of the texts say that he was kind of fat and a little bit lazy, and so he made this long trip. And he came to the capital where this other king, Ajatasattu, the one who'd killed his father, the story I told earlier, was reigning. And he came at night. And so the city gates were closed. And so he stayed in some place, slept in some home or hall or something outside. And then he died that night. The piecing this together, it seems that the Buddha knew about this, that his friend, the king, had been usurped and headed south, so the Buddha followed, maybe to offer support for the king or to intervene or something. But when he arrived at the capital, his friend had died. So there was not much reason to head back home, to stay there. So the Buddha then started marching home. But before he did, Ajatasattu sent his minister, to talk to the Buddha and said, I'm thinking about attacking the neighboring country, the country that's between Ajatasattu's country and the Buddha's home country, the place that Buddha had often been. And it was kind of a republic. It wasn't really run by a king. It was, And the Buddha, and he asked them, the minister said, do you have any advice for us about, what do you think of this, us attacking and conquering this neighboring country? And the Buddha gives some advice, and I won't tell you what he said because of the time. And he prevented the war then and there, but in fact, in giving his advice about why he shouldn't attack, the Buddha unintentionally gave the clue for what the king had to do in order to attack the neighboring country, which he did then 3 years later successfully. As the Buddha then got up to leave and started heading north to his home country, he was going to cross a river, and there he saw another minister of the king Ajatasattu, who was beginning to lay down the ramparts or the walls for a great new fort in preparation for war. So here, war is at hand. War preparations are going on. The Buddha begins walking north, and he describes himself as an old man. And I wanted to read you this description the Buddha gives of himself. I am now old, worn out, venerable, one who has traversed life's path. I have reached the term of life, which is 80. Just as an old cart is made to go by being held together by straps, so the Tathagata's body is kept going by being strapped up. It is only when I meditate deeply that this body, my body, knows comfort, is at ease. So here's a person who's 80 in the ancient world, who's being held together by straps and bodies falling apart, in other words, and he's in pain. And only in meditation is he free of his pain. Back then they had no pain medication. And he's walking. This old man is walking. He's in pain. His minister, his close friend, his king, had just been usurped and had died. The other king is about to conquer a country that had embraced the Buddha and had been a kind of a place that Buddha had lived a lot. Getting ready to attack it. And in this long walk across back north to his home country, he learns that his two closest disciples had died. One had been killed by bandits and the other had just died. And Buddha keeps walking, and at some point he gets diarrhea or dysentery and is quite sick with lots of pain. And he gets revived enough and he's heading home, but at some point he realizes he's going to die. He doesn't reach home, and he finds two magnificent trees to lay down underneath, and he lays there never to get up again. And there he lays and spends his last time teaching his disciples, and then he carefully asks them, do you have any other questions for me before I die? No one asks anything, and so the Buddha finally says his last words, all things are impermanent. Everything is impermanent. Practice diligently. Carry on diligently, ongoingly. Carry on. And then he dies. And he dies by going into deep meditation states and goes as deep as possible in the what's possible through meditation. And then he begins coming out. And then in the fourth jhana, which is one of the most sublime places to be, maybe the ideal place in which to die, his life passed away. And this image of this man peacefully dying, at peace with himself, surrounded by his disciples, giving his last teachings, and then peacefully going into the one last journey in his deep meditation states. And in those states, his life passes away. And all around him, so he's spiritually, his inner life is deeply at peace, and peaceful setting in the woods under trees. But all around him, kings are being usurped, wars about to happen, people are dying, the Buddha's is an old man, sick, in pain, walking up, you know, through India, and he doesn't reach home. He's trying to get back to his home country. So the juxtaposition of a world out of kilter and the Buddha at peace. This is the end of the Buddha's time, his life. So what we think about that and how we live with that and understand that in relationship to our own life, perhaps what the Buddha said as his last words can apply to us as well. All things are impermanent. Practice diligently. So, thank you.